Amen and hallelujah was definitely an appropriate response. Thank you, Lindsay. Wow. It's a privilege to have Jeff and Mark with us. Jeff will be addressing us this morning, and he asked me to read Judges chapter 6. So if you'd open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. This will be background for what he's going to talk about this morning. He says he's going on quite a ways farther, though. So it's a good start. Judges chapter 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because of the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. God bless you, Jeff.
Well, that's a real pick-me-up. Fantastic. How are we doing this morning? God is good. All the time. Yeah, that's true. Do you believe that? Boy, I sure do. I'll tell you what, I travel around. I'm a full-time musicianary, so I do a lot of concerts and speaking. And a lot of times I do concerts and everybody sits at the front, and then I come to churches. So this morning we're going to talk from Judges. And Don's right, we're going to certainly start in Judges 6, but we're going a long ways away. We're going all the way from Judges 6 to Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church 2018. Buckle up. Got a long ways to go. So this morning, I've been just having a blast here in Iowa. I've been here a few times before. How many people have heard me speak before? And you're back again, gluttons for punishment. I love it. Good for you. Such a privilege and a pleasure to be here. And Thursday night, got to hang out with some form of the worship leaders and the church leadership and talk about worship, which was super fun, something I'm super passionate about. And then Friday morning, got to go to a coffee shop and have coffee and hang out with some men from the church, which was awesome. And then spoke at chapel at IMS, which was just fantastic. Got to get together with church leadership Friday night and talk about making disciples like Jesus made disciples, which I thought was just fantastic. And then Saturday morning, did a full day training from 8:30 to 4:30 on four chair discipling, a method that really just follows the model of Jesus. How many people were there for four chair discipling? If you could just slip your hand up. Fantastic. Good. It was a good amount of people from the church. And I'm excited for you because we're talking about making disciples who make disciples. And I am convinced that the primary purpose of the church, that's the church universal, whether it's a church in Iowa or a church in Asia or anywhere, I'm convinced the primary purpose of the church is to advance the gospel and to make disciples. I believe when Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," the next words were really important. And those next words were going to all the world. One version says, "And preach the gospel." Matthew's version says, "Make disciples." You can't really separate the two. If you're going to make disciples, well, disciple making begins and ends with evangelism. It begins with reaching the lost, which is why I was so excited this morning that I heard from this stage, let's spend the next few moments praying for lost people, because that's the beginning of disciple making. We pray for these people who don't know Jesus, and then we begin to actually reach out to them with not just the good news, but the greatest news ever. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. This is good news we were singing about this morning. And the reality is, there are a lot of people who don't recognize this news, maybe because they've never heard it. So we need to be praying, and we need to be sharing. And we were talking all about that yesterday, and we're going to kind of talk about it again today. And we're going to do so by way of the story of Gideon from Judges 6. And so this morning I want to talk about God's weird way of winning. Or you could call it God's odd way of beating the odds. And we're going to start in Judges. And we're going to wind up here. So that's where we're going. With the help of the good Lord Jesus, we'll get there. So Father, this morning, open our ears to hear You. I don't want anyone to hear me this morning. I want them to hear You. So anything that's not of me, just block it out. But anything that is of You, God, may we hear it clearly. This morning, God, would You open our hearts to care about the things that You care about. God, would You activate our hands and feet so that we could be little Christs in this community, in fact, all over this world. May we learn a thing or nine from the story of Gideon. In Jesus' name I pray, all God's people said, amen. So the opening chapter, opening of chapter 6 from Judges talks about this. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Into the hand of Midian they were given, and Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And for whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. How many farmers we have up in here? Any farmers? Would you be excited if this was happening to you right now? I'm going to venture to say no. Not cool, Midianites. Not cool. But it was happening. They would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Listen, God has a strategy. God has a plan. God has a weird way of winning. And it starts with this. The people of God have to face the brutal facts. God's weird way of winning starts with the people of God facing the brutal facts. It ain't pretty. Israelite was just being absolutely devoured and demolished. Midian would come through and they would destroy everything. But that's not the worst part. The worst part was that the people of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, that's a big part of why the land was in the situation that it was in. The people of Israel did evil. The Midianites came in and they devoured. And the Israelites had to face the brutal facts. They had to face the brutal facts about who they had actually sinned against. They had sinned against the Lord. The Lord had clearly spoken. We're in Judges by now. The Lord had made His intentions clear about who the Israelites were supposed to be, about how they were supposed to live. But they didn't care. They were going their own way. They were doing their own thing. Thank you very much. God, by the way, if You could bless it, that'd be fantastic. Well, God doesn't really like to bless our own way. He's given us the best way. And He's promised that He'll bless that. But we have to face the brutal facts. The Israelites had to face the brutal facts. They had sinned against God. Not only do they have to face the brutal facts about who they had sinned against, they had to face the brutal facts about what was coming against them. I don't know if you noticed the description of Midian, but fearsome. I mean, they would come in a number that looked like locusts just devouring the land. They were massive. They were huge, and they were an agent of destruction. And they were coming in time and time again to absolutely decimate Israel. And it's in the midst of this, facing the brutal facts about their reality, that Israel did something really, really important. They began to cry out to the Lord. Well, I mean, they could have done that a long time ago. That would have been nice. But finally, they faced the brutal facts. They come face to face with reality, not the way they wanted it to be, but the way it really was. And they begin to cry out to the Lord. And what happens? Well, they face the brutal facts about what's going on, and the next thing that happens is they get marching orders. They cry out to the Lord, and the Lord comes, and He does something kind of fascinating here. And so this is found in Judges 6, 11 through 14. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. What a brave soul he was. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" So in our story here, we have Gideon, this mighty man of valor, hiding in a wine press. Why is he hiding? Why is he hiding? Anybody know? Oh, just because there's an enormous army that's striking the whole land, that's all. Just because they're coming under attack from absolutely every side, that's all. So he jumps into this wine press so that he can hide from the enemies. So he can hide from the pending danger, and he can provide for himself, right? That's what he's doing. He's coming into his church. I mean, he's coming into his wine press because he's afraid of the pending danger outside. And by golly, he has to provide for himself and his family. Some of you see where I'm going with this. And so the angel of the Lord comes, says, "What are you doing?" Of course, he tells him, and the angel of the Lord gives him these marching orders. It's found in the 14th verse. In the 14th verse, it says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?'" These guys, marching orders. How much more clarity do you need? Go! I'm sending you, and I will be with you. Wait, did I just read the Great Commission, or what did I read? Hold on, let me check that out again. No, we're still in Judges 6. Never mind. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" Listen, the vision is audacious. This is no small task that Gideon receives from the Lord. The army coming against them is massive. It is huge, and they are bent on destruction. But they already faced the brutal facts. He already knows it's an audacious mission. It's going to require all of his assets. What does the Lord tell him? What is this marching order that he receives from the Lord? Go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. Oh, what a mighty warrior he was. Well, that's okay, because I'm pretty sure I serve a God who says, in your weakness, I will be made strong. But that's okay, because I don't think God is asking us for everything, just everything we have. So go in the strength you have, Gideon. Don't wait for more. You have everything you need. Look at you. You got a little kingdom in this wine press. What more do you need? Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? God's going to be with him. God has promised he'll be with him every step of the way. Look, the marching orders are very, very clear. Go. Get out of the wine press. Take this marching order and go up out there where it's dangerous. It's going to be crazy. Go. Use whatever you have. Whatever strength you have, mighty man of valor, use that. And I'm going to be with you always. So he gets his marching order. The vision is audacious, but the keys to victory are clear. Just use all of your assets. Execute a strategy with the intent of winning. Did you notice that? Just go defeat the Midianites. Don't even think about losing, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help this thing happen. He comes up with this strategy that he knows is going to work. But now mathematically, as we get to the strategy, it looks foolish. That's okay. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, right? So he faces the brutal facts. He gets the marching orders. And then, let's jump to chapter 7 now, because it's starting to get good. Chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." You guys remember the description that we heard about Midian? This vast army of vicious locusts, right? And so Midian rallies up whatever troops he can, and it ends up being about 32,000. That's ridiculous. Last I checked, 32,000 versus millions, not good. And God's like, "You got way too many people." And Gideon's like, "That's what I was thinking." Yeah, God. Hey, I followed you this far. Might as well keep going. So he says, "Hey, listen. Anybody who's fearful, you can go home." And 22,000 are like, "Oh, good." But 10,000 stayed. And here's the deal, guys. God's weird way of winning requires us to look for the fearful few. The fearless few. We have to face the brutal facts. We have to get our marching orders. And we have to look for that fearless few. Because there's going to be a fearful multitude. But we have to find the fearless few. That's what Gideon did. He said, "Look, if you're too scared, no worries. Go on home. But we're going to take the people who want to be here. And we're going for it." Judges 7, 4 through 7. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Take them down to the water and I'll test them for you there. And anyone whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And anyone to whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Just quick survey. How many people would lap with their tongue? Hey, ain't none of you going along. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink is not going to go. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go home. So he whittled it down to just the 10,000 fearless men, but that was too many. God still had some sifting to do. And now he whittles it down to 300 men. Woo! We got to find those people. This is what God's telling Midian. Who are willing to go against the impossible odds. We have to find these people who are willing to fight the impossible fight. This is God's weird way of winning, guys. This isn't my strategy. I couldn't have possibly come up with this. This isn't Gideon's strategy. I mean, are you serious? This is God's odd way of beating the odds. If it were me, I would have been like, God, let's see if we can get everybody on board first. It would have been like, hey, God, let's be a little more democratic about this. Let's take a vote. Can I at least bring it to church council? That's not how God works. That might be how churches work. That's not how God works. God is wanting to activate the fearless few. Not only that, but God wants to flip the script on the conventional strategy. He wants to flip the script on our conventional strategies. Check out Judges 7. Now we'll jump to 16 through 19. So Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. By the way, if I was writing this, I would have said, and he divided the 300 men, went to find 300,000 more, put them in tanks, gave them bombs. Right? That's not the way God does things. He divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into their hands, all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow my trumpet, which is such a great battle strategy. When I blow my trumpet, I and all who are with me then blow the trumpets also on every side of the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. I'm not a military expert. I have to admit that. This doesn't seem like a good plan. Right? Can you guys agree with me? Right? I mean, at least one AK-47 something, Lord. Right? No. Trumpets, jars, torches. This is crazy. But we need to flip the script on the conventional strategy. Because when it comes to actually doing the mission that God has for us today, we have so many people who have given us all these great strategies, all these great ideas. I've got an idea. It's a brand new idea that's 2,000 years old. Why don't we do what Jesus did? Might not be conventional, but I'm pretty sure it's effective. We need to stop listening to all these crazy ideas, and we need to get back to God's idea. We need to flip the script on the conventional strategy just like Midian did. God removed the possibility of any kind of conventional thinking when he said, look for the fearless few. Whittle it down to 300. Just go in the strength that you have. God forced Gideon to develop a strategy that was custom made and was fully dependent on God. Listen, if God didn't come through on this strategy, there is no way it's going to work. No possible way. These millions of Midianites are like cute torch, bro. They put themselves in a position where God had to move, which is no worries, because God wanted to move more than he wanted them to. This was God's weird way of winning in Judges 6, and I'm telling you what, it's God's weird way of winning a Lower Deer Creek Mennonite in 2018. We're going to have to face the brutal facts surrounding us. It's easy to go through life with our blinders on. It's easy to just hang out in the wine press taking care of ourselves, trying not to be ravaged ourselves. Meanwhile, our neighbors are being decimated. Look, we may not have to deal with Midian coming up against us, just Satan. And he's decimating us. He is absolutely destroying your friends, your coworkers, your schoolmates, your neighbors, and we're hanging out in a wine press. There are people all over this county who do not know Jesus, who will die and who will forever be separated from, they are being decimated. We have to face the brutal facts that Satan is real and he hates us and he wants to kill and steal and destroy from us. The battle that we are facing is far more real than the battle that Gideon faced. It's far more worse than the battle Gideon face, and we need to face the brutal facts. And we have to be honest about our own sin against God. We have to be honest about the ways that we have said, I don't actually really care what God wants. I'm doing my own thing. And we need to start crying out to the Lord like the Israelites did. We have to be honest, guys. We have to face the brutal facts if we're going to see God move in power like he wants to do. If we're going to witness God's weird way of winning the souls of the people in this community. Not only do we have to face the brutal facts, but we have to get our marching orders. You know what they are? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go into all the world. Whatever your world is, go into it. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. I don't know what authority told you to sit around and do nothing, but they ain't got the authority Jesus has. All authority has been given to Jesus. And he said, with that authority, to us who are under his authority, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always. So how much strength do we need in order to do that? Just whatever we've got. Mighty man of valor, go! And I will be with you always to the end of the age. Yes, our vision is audacious, but the keys to victory are clear. We just have to use all of our assets. We have to execute a strategy with the intent of actually winning. And we have to realize that God is with us every step of the way. Now, I realize there are some in here today that are like, when will this guy shut up? I get it. I'm fine with it. It's kind of my lot in life. But there are some in here today who are saying, yes, Lord, and amen. Now, this might hurt a little. We don't need all of you. We just need to find the fearless few. Now, you're all invited to be a part of it, but the reality is you're not all going to. Please prove me wrong. Please, please, please prove me wrong. I would love for you to prove me wrong. But for us to start waging war against Satan and start winning the war of the lost souls around us, we don't need y'all to be on board. We just need the fearless few. We need those like Gideon had, who are willing to face impossible odds, who are willing to fight impossible fights, who are willing to dive into impossible situations, who are willing to go just in the strength that they have, believing that God's up to something and He will accomplish what He sets out to accomplish. Some of you this morning, that's resonating. You're the fearless few. Rise up, mighty men and women of valor. The others of you, whatever. Guys, we need to flip the script on our conventional strategy. Yeah, we need to be faithful. Man, I appreciate standing in a church where you've got a worship team who loves Jesus, who's willing to provide music for you. Can we clap for them? Thank you, guys. Wow. Awesome. Don faithfully brings the Word of God. Steve joins him in it. Can we thank them for that? What an awesome... Wow. What a blessing. That's fantastic. How many Sunday school teachers do we have up in here who are constantly providing content and facilitating great content for the Lord every week? Can we clap for that? Right? Nailing it. Nailing it. It's awesome. Thank you. And there are a million other things that I could point out that we could clap for because of the faithfulness of what's happening here in the church, but I got to get brutally honest with you. That strategy is not giving you the results that you want. It's not. Am I saying stop it? No, I'm not saying that at all. It's fantastic. It's important. But it can't be your strategy for reaching the lost because it's not working. We have to get serious about doing disciple-making the way Jesus did. Did Jesus go into the synagogue and teach? Yes. It was His custom. Did Jesus participate in the worship in the temple? Yes. Of course. It was fantastic. But I'm going to tell you what, the majority of His ministry happened in the highways and the byways and the everyday life. Jesus jumped on a smelly, stinky fishing boat so that He could get in the lives of people who were going to change the world. Jesus went into the bars, hung out with the harlots and the prostitutes so He could change their lives. I'm not telling you stop what you're doing here if it's good. I'm telling you that strategy is not going to work. If you really want to make disciples who make disciples, if you really want to see your community reached and the power of the Spirit, we have to face the brutal facts. We have to get our marching orders straight from Jesus. We have to look for the fearless few, go with the goers, pray for the rest. And we have to flip the script on our conventional strategies. Man, I submit we get back to that 2,000-year-old version. It was working really well. In fact, you're only here because they were serious about it. How did a bunch of white people from Iowa wind up following an obscure Jewish rabbi who lived 2,000 years ago? Josephus barely mentioned him. I'll tell you why. Because there were 11 men who were the fearless few who believed that Jesus was serious when he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and go therefore and make disciples. And then the people after them said, you know what, I think Jesus was serious. So they went out and made disciples. And the people after them said, you know what, I think Jesus was serious. I'd like to submit to you this morning, I think Jesus was serious. Fearless few, whoever you are you willing to fight the impossible fight? Face the impossible odds? Because God has a weird way of winning, and he's inviting you into it. Father, this morning, I pray that you would encourage us with these words. For those whom you're already burning this truth in their heart, may they follow you with everything that they have. May they recognize, God, that there's some brutal facts surrounding us. But we can't just hang out in our wine press serving ourselves. Our call is to rescue all of this community. Just like Gideon was asked to rescue all of Israel, we're called to rescue all of our community. God, thank you for giving us so clearly our marching orders. We don't need to know anything more than that, other than all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, and you have told us to go and make disciples. You've promised you'd be with us always. So God, fire up those fearless few. And I pray that you'd add to their ranks. I pray that as we get serious about fighting this impossible fight, facing these impossible odds, and watching you perform your weird way of winning, that it would be contagious. There would be more fearless few jumping up. God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the grace to flip the conventional script. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people here, Lower Deer Creek Mennonite. But we need to go back to a different strategy. Empower us, God, to be those who will say, yes, I'm willing to follow you. We love you, Lord, and it's out of that love that we say yes and amen. Amen.